Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and we welcome back to the show today, Madame Zalema, who's going to continue the conversation about love magic and love spells that we started last year in February. And for those of you that have not met Madame Zalema, she's a Guatemalan tarot reader with a Mayan, Buddhist, and Hindu influences, as well as a spell worker who has trained in hoodoo and probably some other things as well. So we're really excited about the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our show. This is sort of our Valentine's tradition to do a show on relationships and love spells and magic. And so it's always popular, and we always have a lot of fun with it. We've got some really great guests coming up. Next week, we have Lon Milo Duquette on, and he will be talking about the Crowley Thoth Tarot, and he's an expert on that. Krista and I love that deck. We use it a lot, so it should be a great conversation. And the following week, we have Dan Moore, who is going to be doing a show on alchemy. So a lot of stuff for all you esoteric, occult sort of folk this month, and that'll be great. And then we're planning all kinds of great shows for the spring. We've got a show coming up with the Knights Templar. We have shows on numerology. We have just a ton of great stuff. So find out all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. And while you're there, subscribe to our newsletter, and it will give you a recap of some of our episodes and some other cool content we find. It comes out every other month. And if you can afford it, leave us a coffee on Ko-Fi. It really helps us to cover our cost a little bit, and we definitely appreciate those of you who have done so. And then please, if you're listening to us, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That really helps us more than anything, and we're still striving to get to that first 1,000 subscribers, and we're inching our way closer and closer. So be a force for good in the world and subscribe to our channel. It will really help us a lot. So with that, I'm going to kick it back to Krista, and let's delve into the subject of love magic.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And welcome, Madame Zalema.
Hi, nice to see you again. I'm happy to be here.
And we're always happy to have you here. People really love your especially your spell programs on spells. You get a lot of response from that.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
So just to maybe start it off a little bit with, how has it been during the pandemic in terms of people interested in love magic or relationship questions? How have you found it?
It's been challenging. I have a lot of people asking me questions like, I met this guy, but he's afraid of the virus. And one of the things that I find more problematic is difference in ideologies. For example, I have a couple that believes in the virus, and she likes this guy a lot, but he doesn't believe the virus is real, and that's a problem.
That's happened to us too, actually. That is a problem.
Right, because it's a reality. In my reality, I believe a certain thing. And then I always say to her, why don't you guys research together and come to a middle point, or quarantine separate for 15 days, get tested, and then you realize if you can be together or not. But right there, I see a problem of not the relationship that could be working because of the different mentalities.
Mm, right.
That's a problem.
And have you been able to do any love spells during this time?
Yes, I have done some. It's been less because people are more worried about other things, but I have some. And different ones. For example, some people want to rekindle love because they've been cooped up together and they start hating each other. So I remind them of the reasons why they got together. I say, can you make a list of what you like on him? And I do it with him also. And then I tell them to light a candle. I'm going to give you an example. I brought candles from Guatemala that I love because they are very easy to burn and they are small. So you don't have in the apartment a huge candle that burns for hours and maybe you want to go to the market and you have to turn it off. So I have these little ones, if you see them, they're very small and they burn very quickly. So if you need a quick, like a Zoom spell, these are great.
So they're about like 2 to 3 inches, you think?
Yes, about 3 inches. And
so for
very
people
thin.
That will be listening to the show. Yeah, and they're very thin, kind of like almost like large birthday candles.
Right.
Or cakes.
So what I advise people is if they're together, I tell John Doe, the man, please, you take your candle, and I tell her to take her candle. And then I tell them, whoever is having more problems with the relationship, to grab the candle and remember why they got together and to tie a knot at the top if the wick allows it. I do the wick long on purpose. So you tie it together like this. See? But before that, you put his name on, he writes his name. If he's with a little knife or pen, he says, Mary, I love you, remember. And she will say, John, I love you, I remember. Things like that, whatever you want to say. Then you grab a honey jar and you open the jar and you put your finger inside the jar and get some honey in your finger. And you rub the candles with honey and in the wick because you're remembering the sweetness when you were together, right? And then if you got the honey in your finger, you can lick the honey. Don't put it on the napkin. So then you can burn the bottom and stick it in a plate or something that you can anchor it safely. And then in front of each other, you light it and you see it go down, you hold hands. And these are little rituals to remind people why they're together, why they got together. Because the pandemic is bringing up a lot of our shadows. And if we have not worked with our shadows, we're going to spill it on the other person, right? So that's one thing. I have other ones that, for example, they're separated in different countries or different houses, or for any reason, or one is in the hospital for any reason, and then there's other rituals you can do. One that I get asked a lot is, I want my lover to, or my boyfriend, to love me. I start a new relationship, I really like him, we're getting along, but I want him to love me. I said, but you're together. I ask a few questions. Is that person married or is he single? Because, you know, there's all kinds of things.
Sure.
So when a person tells me, no, we are starting a relationship, but I don't want to lose him. So I said, well, we're going to do something nice, which is you start with a petition paper. And I like a piece of paper that's white. And I like to cut it with my hands to the size of like a sticky note.
Sure. So
not, you don't need anything bigger. And then you write your name 3 times. And then you turn the paper and you write his name 3 times. And you write around that, making a circle. John, love me. John, love me. Without lifting a pen. And I'm going to show you an example of that. It's right here.
Ah, so you make a circle out of the sentence that you...
Right. But you know the names are crossing each other, right? So it's 3 lines like this and 3 lines like that. And you do the same with the honey. You dip your finger in the honey and you draw a cross inside the paper in the middle. And then you fold the paper towards you once and then twice again. You give it a kiss and you put it under the plate or the wherever you want to put the candles. And I already started a little one here so for you to see. And if you, I usually use white matches or black matches depending on what I want, but for protection. So I light my match and I have this set up here. You put a little jar with water for protection. Let's say there's water there. And if you notice, The candles are, let me take the jar out. The candles are already tied.
Oh, at the top.
This wasn't going to cooperate. Come on. Get back here.
So there, in that one, there's like six candles, it looks like.
Right. Two in the middle representing the two persons tied at the head.
Right.
And one white on each north, south, east, and west. And then I put roses, little roses.
Dried ones,
around
yeah.
Around them. And then you light the candle, and that's it. But there's one here that doesn't want to cooperate. I don't know what's wrong with him. But I'm going to light it because at the end of the show, I want to show you how quick these
they
candles
melt. Okay.
How quick they burn and how quick they... Oh, see, this guy is a stubborn guy.
So you were saying that you had them both do it. Do you find that men will do the spell work?
Some men do, especially in the gay community. Mm-hmm. These people are very open and artistic, and they have shown me, they say, I don't know if it's good, but I put a little bit of my own personal twist. And I said, that's great, because that makes it personal. Mm-hmm. Always follow your intuition when something doesn't feel right in a spell. Follow your intuition. Do what feels right for you. That works better.
So now if you were to be doing the spell for them, would you read the way it burnt the wax them as well?
Definitely. That's called ceromancy. And it makes a lot of sense to read the candles because, for example, when I show you this one that doesn't want to cooperate, I already tied them together. And when I anchor them in the bottom, one of them falls. So you anchor it again. And if it keeps falling, what is that telling you?
Probably nothing good.
Exactly. So that's one thing. Another thing is depending where the wax burns towards the center or the outside of the circle that you make with flowers and the wax. Also, if it turns off or the flame is different one from the other. Like if you see here, they're burning already, but the red one is burning quicker.
Right. Very quick.
I hit them at the same time. And that means I'm for it. Let's do it. Right. Mm-hmm. The one that's slow is like more, let me think about it. So it makes sense. You need to read the signs, how they burn, which side they burn, if they turn off. And of course you're not going to have drafts. Do it in a room that you have no draft, no curtains, close to curtains, please.
Yeah, that's sensible for sure.
Yes.
So would there be a difference in using like pink candles instead of red for the people? Is red
Absolutely.
More passionate?
Absolutely. Red usually means passion and it means action. Pink is more sweet. It's more like, for example, you can use it for friendship also. Mm-hmm. Let's say we ended the relationship, but I wanted to keep the friendship and I want us to be friends. We use the pink ones. Or when you start a relationship, you start slowly. You don't start with passion. Maybe you start with friendship. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you want.
Now, another thing, I was listening to the show last year and you had mentioned that a lot of times people don't have a space for an altar, and mm-hmm. that's why they hire people. But let's say they have a little space. Do you ever teach people how to make a specific altar for instance, a love altar? And because I know someone that does that, I don't think she does work for others, but she showed me her altar for love, and it was really pretty, actually.
Was it the lady from Coventry?
No, it was one of our co-hosts, Kristen, has one, I think.
Oh, okay. See, your altar is like your clothes, like your home is personal. It's what you, if you have things and objects you love and give you pleasure related to love, like hearts, a dry rose, that you can put in your altar. And if you don't have a space, you can use like, look what I did. Mm-hmm. This can be an altar, like a little plate.
Right.
It's a small plate that is like about 3 inches and is long, or you can use a round one. Use black one or white, preferably. No writing, no drawings.
Simple, plain.
Yes. And you can set that in your dining table. And if you don't have a dining table, you can do it in the kitchen. I have people that their altar is in the kitchen because they say food and love, they relate it.
Ah.
So they have a little space in the kitchen for their altar.
Well, there's a lot of ingredients that you people have, like cinnamon, that's associated with all kinds of love magic.
Cinnamon is one of your, these are your friends. These are tools that you can use. And the smell is delicious. What I use cinnamon sticks for is I would sometimes make a cross, or I would put them together this way. And then with a red ribbon or twine, you tie them together. And usually I do 3 times. And every time I tie it, I'm saying something, or 7 times maximum. Like, we are a good match, you're my soulmate, we love each other. Anything that it comes to mind that is towards the relationship. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon sticks are great. They're your friends. Also, roses and oils. For example, I have here that I bought a long time ago. I don't know if I have to say the name where I bought it or not.
I think you can. It's up to you.
Okay. I'm not going to say it because there's a lot of people that sell it, but these oils are called attraction oils, and they have little trinkets inside, like herbs and stuff. And so what happens is you rub your candles from the bottom up with the oil, thinking of the person and saying your decrees, whatever you want to bring into the relationship. You can use oils. Also, I use Mother's Wort herbs like this. Mm-hmm. I have my own collection. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of herbs you can use because herbs have energy, and you use the energy of the herbs towards that too. You can put it around like a circle, mm-hmm, in the candles. Or if you rub the candle with the oil, then you put the herbs on your hand and then you rub it, it stays in the candle. It sticks to the candle and it burns with it.
So I have a question about keeping herbs in your closet or your witch closet or kitchen. How long do you think they keep in terms of being effective? Because some, you know, obviously you don't use that often, maybe are even hard to get. Yeah. And I think as long as you're keeping them in the container that's closed, do you feel there's sort of a date where they go bad?
Yes. Certain herbs go bad. And certain herbs last forever, like lavender. Lavender almost lasts years. But like you said, you made a good point. If you collect them, it will be great. You know, I'm starting hiking, and I find sage, and I find lavender. So I cut it myself fresh. Mm-hmm. Then I come home and dry it, and then I bottle it. Mm-hmm. Because I also sell kits. When someone wants to do it themselves, I say, okay, I do a little video for them and I do the herbs for them and I assemble a kit and mail it to their homes, and then they do it. Mm-hmm. They do the ritual. But herbs have a limited, if you buy it in the market, you don't know when it was harvested. You don't know how it was bottled. And also your energy, because I like to cut my own herbs because I put that energy into them. Like, it reminds me, are you familiar with a movie called Water for Chocolate?
Oh, yes.
Did you see how when she was cooking, she was putting her emotions in the food and everybody felt it when they ate the food?
Yes.
Herbs and everything you touch is the same thing. It has atoms, it's vibration. Water is very, very sensitive to energies. Herbs also. Mm-hmm. So you always say, thank you, or can you permit me to cut some? You ask permission to the plant. You just don't, cut it in, because they feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of studies where plants respond to classical music, and this is where you get into sort of debates with vegetarians, is that how do you draw the line with life? And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be a vegetarian, but... Mm-hmm. You don't avoid hurting things by not eating meat. If you believe that, like trees being cut down, and, you know, obviously clear cutting is really harsh on a tree. And and so it's a constant practice of trying to do the best you can, I think, because we do have to survive in some ways, and we're going to use these resources. But it does seem like we could do a much better aware job, but I think it's the lack of patience that especially the Western mind has, that we don't have the patience. to do what it takes to wait for, you know, certain things to happen in nature.
I was in Guatemala for 3 months. I was so lucky. I went with my mother and we came back a few, 2 weeks ago. And I was so blessed to be in the presence of a goddess, Mayan goddess, initiated into this new priestess thing. I cannot explain it because it's in Cachiquel is the language and I cannot say it, but how they ask permission to everything, the rocks and the flowers they put around and the honey, and they say, thank you for the bees that did this honey. And I think we're going to go gravitate towards that again, because if I kill an animal for my own sustainability, I'm going to kill him in a more, I don't know if the word humane is right or animaling, but to not to make him suffer more than necessary. Mm-hmm. Right? If I cut a flower or something, I'll be aware that they have feelings or they feel. So I don't want them to be afraid and be hurtful and then I bring them home. It's a conscience that you start seeing once you get older, I think. You know, young people are more fast. I want it now. But when you get older, and especially with the pandemic, you start being more conscious of things like that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, just going back to the love spell, when you think about the concept of love and how probably love spells are the most, I think, popular spells, at least in the public mind, because of movies and that it can help you to start thinking about love overall, I think, just because of, you know, at least the people that actually do the spells, you think of your ingredients, you think of where they come from, like you've probably evolved now. It sounds like you want to, you know, really get out there and do your own, find your own plants, and you didn't start there. And I think that's part of spell working, is because of that kind of magic, earth magic, is to connect you to the earth. And
because, like, I know you understand this so much because you have a very special relationship with animals and you see how they communicate with us. But if we understand that the earth is, I don't want to sound cheesy, but the earth, the animals, water, everything we have in this home we call earth is all connected. I cannot think that I'm going to be killing plants or burning here and it's not going to affect me or other people probably. Maybe I'm going to damage other communities. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to get back to me because they don't have... Anyway, I think I'm derailing the conversation.
No, it happened more this time when I was just thinking about the show, and I was thinking maybe because there's a lot of planets in Aquarius too, which is a broader brotherhood love, you know, and even though this is a Valentine's Day show, it is, Valentine's is during Aquarius. And when I was a little girl, my favorite part of Valentine's Day was when all of us got Valentine's and we'd all give Valentine's cards. Right. And I think I almost wish that's what Valentine's Day was, because it suits the time of year being the Aquarian spirit, and that maybe the romantic spirit would be better at a different month, you know, maybe May because of Beltane, and that this is not really the right month for Valentine's Day.
Well, it is. I'm going to tell you why, my love. I'm trying to find something that I want to show you because you're just mentioning about the Aquarian time. And since I went to Guatemala, I'm doing I'm working with the Nahuales. I think I spoke to you before about that. And especially today, the Nahual today is about communicating. I'm going to show you quickly. Mm-hmm. It's this one. I don't know if you can see it.
So it's a round sort of...
It's like
pinkish.
It's a jeroglyphic from the Mayan time.
Okay.
But this represents the energy and the path that the walker travels. We're traveling in a path right now that we all hold each other's hands. We can't let go of anybody because we're in this together, right? Mm-hmm. And the energy is, let's work with what the energy is saying today to do, because it makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. It's like when you use the moon phases.
Sure.
So you just brought that to me, you know, by mentioning it.
Yeah, and it's just fun where your mind goes when you start working with any kind of spell. I like that about spell magic, is that it's very organic and open. And whereas there are some traditions of magic that are more they've become more formalized and structured, and that's a good thing. It's just different. But yes, one of the benefits of sort of the more of the witch path is it's a little more organic to me. And like the idea you can incorporate this and that, and the different cultures incorporate different things, but then they have shared common things that they use for a lot of the spell work, such as some of the herbs and the flowers. I mean, obviously rose is common throughout the world as connected to love, but it's also interesting. I learned this from Zee Budapest, is that I did an interview with her for a paper years ago, and she's such a fascinating lady to talk to. And she said that Susan B. Anthony, they think that she wore rose, the oil, and it was to garnish respect. And so one of the qualities of rose is also respect. And I think that's a big aspect of love, is that I need to respect the person and the person respect me. But it really struck me because I'd never heard that before, that rose specifically can be connected to getting people to respect you.
I never heard of it before either, but that's good. Yeah. See how beautiful it is that still we learn from each other, little things like that?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's an endless quest. Right. One of the things I wanted to ask you this time around was, you did mention before about you also believe in working with ancestors and guides. And how would you work with a person's guides when doing a love spell? Or do you work with their guides or just your own guides?
It depends on the situation and what the person needs and what they ask me for. But if somebody, for example, I have this client that her grandmother would always talk to her about marriage and what men look for, and she passed away. So I always tell her, I'm sure she's around you, and every time you meet a guy, she's going, and so connect with her, talk to her, to ask her, is this guy okay? And it works when you have that connection, because ancestors, of course, they want their family to continue, and because it's out of love and it's survival also. But yes, you can connect to ancestors or a dear friend you had, mother also. Teachers, ancestors is also, for example, I do some deities for, I don't know if you are familiar with this one. I love this one.
I should know that one, but I don't.
I forgot her name in this moment. I feel terrible. because I am reading so many things, but let me tell you, she has four hands, and one hand is like this, and the other one, she's carrying a little bowl. Mm-hmm. So Tara is another one, because we have different color Taras. So there's deities that are, for example, I think Quan Yin also is into love and gardening and flowers. So I also, when I connect with one of the goddesses, or because I also use goddesses and mythology.
So who would you use from mythology that you would like to use?
Venus.
Venus is an interesting one. One of her names is Aphrodite.
Right.
And she can be a bit of a wild card when asking for love, I have found.
Tell me your experience, please. I want to know.
Well, it is an interesting story. When I was in my 30s, I lived in Woodstock, and I had two friends. We were all single. They were a little older than me, and we just read Women Who Run With the Wolves, and we were really looking for, a relationship, but kind of, you know, that wild relationship, because we'd read that book, and we wanted to sort of feel free and wild, and we found this altar in the woods. It was like a natural altar that had symbols on it, like, I don't know if they were carved or they just, it was like a Venus and a phallic symbol. And we did this spontaneous ritual to Aphrodite, and it worked, but it worked a little too well. And it was, we were like all involved with the same kind of wild man. And it was not all positive, but it was very Aphrodite. Like, it was very ecstatic. And I'll never forget it because I didn't even know how we... I wish I'd taken a picture of the altar. I don't even know why it was there. It was the craziest thing ever. So I'm a little weary of calling on. I personally probably wouldn't. And I suspect it's probably good to decide what kind of love you're asking for.
Right. So you know, you just said it. Be careful what you ask for. You get it. So that's why the intention papers are important. Because then you're expressing what you really want and need. Because we can, I think love and sexuality is a thin line. People confuse it a lot. Mm-hmm. And also when you mentioned the phallic figure, in the Roman times, it was a protection symbol.
Oh.
So they used to, they have it even in jewelry. When I went to Rome 1 year, I bought these wings with a penis hanging. And people see it from far away and they think it's an angel, but it's a phallus. But it's for protection. I love the idea. Also for when you want to have a baby.
Sure.
For fertility reasons. But in Roman times, they use it for protection. So you have to be careful, like you say, which symbols and which mythology you use. Research well before you use them to see if they have a dark side.
Yes. Well, in astrology, Venus has two sides, and I forget the name of it, but one is a more lusty and almost violent side. It's that real, that wild side we all have that has to be integrated somehow into your psyche. So in the long run, I don't think I regret it, but it was a hard lesson on some levels. That earthy Venus compared to that more idealized Venus that likes beauty and harmony. And so they're both in your chart, evidently. And once you get to know that there's different aspects to most goddesses have, at least, you know, light and dark, but sometimes they've been separated by history.
I envy you. Lucky you. You experienced something amazing.
I don't know. I mean, but you know, everyone's path, my path has been to learn about love, all of it. And I've learned a lot. I've learned to not have love. I've learned about rejection. I've learned about betrayal. I've learned about ecstatic love. I've learned about a stable soulmate love with Michael. I've learned a lot, you know, but you have to kind of go through these experiences for the most part to learn about love. You don't have to do it all. You can read some of it, I think, but, you know, I don't think there's any escape when you want to learn about a topic, whatever it is, you know, maybe you want to learn about, your soul wants to learn about justice. So maybe you're born into situations that are unjust at first. And right. And the soul, to develop, you know, a soul is a messy business.
If you read Carl Jung, and I'm sure you read a lot of him in his dream state and when he connected to his psychic, it can be a... You have to be careful because it's dangerous. It's a little dangerous how deep you go. Maybe you need a guidance or a teacher, you know? But being curious about learning is good. Don't be afraid, I think, to learn. But just be careful how deep and where you go, because it could be dangerous.
Absolutely. And I think when we're young, we tend to delve into things without thinking about it. That is part of youth, you know?
Of course, it's part of being young.
Yes.
I mean, now I couldn't do things I did when I was young, even to save my life. I'd be so afraid.
So going back to the papers, when you're done with the spell, I never know what to do with them. Like, do you keep them? Do you burn them? You keep them until the spell works? Or do you at some point dispose the paper?
What I use, but I'm going to just give you an example. I use... scraps from Mayan indigenous people clothing, and I make little baggies because those clothes are made by hand on a loom with natural fibers. But you can use little baggies like this.
Okay.
If, for example, you finish something, you put it in there with the paper.
Ah.
You know, and you in the wax and all the herbs, and you save it in your nightstand. It's better if it's for a lover. You want this something, put it in your underwear drawer. If it's a more mature relationship, like 60s, 70s, and you guys enjoy food, put it in the kitchen. I don't know. Think about of the areas where you want to bring that richness, you know, the sexuality or the food or fun, and you save it. Don't throw it away unless you ended up the relationship and you think, what was I thinking? Throw it away.
Then you want to get rid of it. So they're like little charm bags, because that's what a lot of witches use, little charm bags for different things.
Right. It's like a totem. It's like a, like, for example, I use certain jewelry that I do rituals with to protect me. It's like, so you can do so many things. I mean, now we're discovering that we are, especially in the new trend of being open about witchcraft, that it doesn't have such a negative connotation, but anything you wear, you can make it into a charm.
Now, do you think anyone's put a love spell on you before?
No, I'm not sure. I never done it for anybody. I never done it. You know, we were just talking with a friend of mine 2 days ago, and we are in our 60s, and we're single for a while. And I was telling her about this couple that they are like in love when they see each other. And I looked at her, and this is kind of sad, but it's reality. And I never met someone when I went, I want to feel that again. And she told me, I want to feel that once. I never met a man that made me feel like that.
Is there any reason why you can't do your own love spell?
No, but you know, I'm so busy doing my things that I don't think about doing for me. But let me tell you something. That love connection with another human being can be damaged by religion, by your upbringing, the home, what your mother believed about men. Those things, it's not simple. So to find that love is total, you give yourself up. You don't protect yourself. And that's beautiful. If anybody has lived that, I'm sure you have, Krista, because I see the type that you are. And I think it's wonderful when you have that, when you have experienced that. It doesn't stay in a straight line, of course. It's frugal. Love is like that.
Well, that's a good point, because I think that love changes no matter who you're with. And you have to be willing to let go of even the most amazing moments. So one of the definitions of Eros is to really see the person in the present moment, not even if you've known them for 10 years, to stop and really look at who they are now. And there can be subtle signs of change. And that's where you have the most intimacy with people. And it's normal to want to compare experiences. But one of the things I was fairly good at was I didn't do that so much. I valued the different kinds of experiences with each person being unique in my life, that they were a unique moment. And yes, as a young woman, especially, you know, you want to hold on to everyone, you know, that's part of young love.
Yes.
But I hear with people with coming for readings, especially, they can't let go of certain experiences to allow new ones in that may, they're different, but they can be just as, if not more beautiful, because that's what they need in that moment. Like I wouldn't be interested in the same things I was interested as a young woman. I'm different now, what I need emotionally, but we have to learn to move on and to relish what we learn, but that's past. It's a memory.
You just made me think of a couple that I work with, and they're lovely. They got married in their 20s. They're in their 70s right now, and they used to have mad, sexy love. And then she told me just exactly what you say. Her husband got ill. And the illness prevents him from having normal sexuality with her. And they learn to pass that bump, and they have the most sweet, respectful relationship, because they massage each other. They look at each other in the eye. They hold hands. It's not like, oh, as a man, you're not sexual anymore, and I discard you. See, young people, when they marry or when they get into a relationship, they have to realize, like you said, nothing stays the same. You change with age also. And you have to be, you don't have to, but it's nice if you adapt. if the relationship is somewhat healthy, because there's relationships that are dangerous that you cannot be with that person. But if it's normal and they have little things you don't like, you work with it, you grow together, and then it becomes the sweetest nectar for your life. Mm-hmm. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that you have to be willing to just take the ups and downs of being with anyone that long, even yourself. I mean, I get tired of myself. Like, you know, oh no, the same old thing going on in my head.
I love you. You know, I thought about that myself also. And when someone tells me, my love, I have to connect my computer to the source because he's going to die. Would you give me 1 minute?
Sure. Well, that's all right. That's okay. So I'll share a little bit of a love spell. I think that's very simple that you can do, and it's for new love. And basically you get cinnamon tea with honey, and you obviously make it hot, and you get a cinnamon stick and you stir it counterclockwise in the tea and you drink that. And then you take the powdered cinnamon and you put it on your front door. So when you walk over that, it'll release the cinnamon. And that's supposed to start a new chapter in your love life. So I think it's about new love, and also if you want to freshen your love. And I like really simple spells that you can really just easily incorporate into your life. You know, there's something about the ordinary and the magic.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice. I'm going to go back to the movie, Water for Chocolate. Your intention and your energy into everything you do. If you're going to cook for your husband, or he's going to cook for you, or you're going to buy food, whatever. But the intention is love. I want to please you.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or somebody's called and you put a warm blanket on top of them. All those little things. But I want to write down what you said, because this is interesting. So it's tea with cinnamon.
Yeah, you get it's a cup of hot honeyed cinnamon tea. So they didn't say you could probably make your own out of cinnamon, but basically it's just a hot cup of cinnamon tea with honey, and you take a cinnamon stick and you turn it, you know, in the tea counterclockwise, okay. Which sounds interesting. Yeah. And then you also at the same time, you get some powdered cinnamon and you put it on your front door where you walk. And this is supposed to help bring in fresh love. I got this from... Yeah. Witches Brew Good Spells. They're little books that are delightful and beautiful. And this one's for love. And they're very interesting. Some of them, and a lot of them are simple like that. They're not, you know, there are some complicated ones. You have to like have 7 different herbs, and which is fun too, because you get to know herbs you might not have gotten to know, or flowers you didn't know anything about.
Right.
So yeah, try that one. See if that helps.
I have to find a partner first. Hey guys, no.
No, it's to help bring that in, I think, to start a fresh chapter. So you're saying you want a new chapter in your love life.
Right.
So you can define what that looks like for you. What does a new chapter look like, you know? And I think that cinnamon, I had never realized cinnamon was so popular in love until I recently.
Yeah, I do cinnamon a lot. Cinnamon is good. Another thing I ask my clients when they say they have problems with their partners or finding a partner, and this is a question I ask, and people look at me like, I say, would you date yourself?
That's brilliant. I love it.
And some of them go, oh, no. Then I go, there you go. Think about it. Would we like someone like us? So that is work. That is being conscious of how we are, our personality. We can be a pain in the neck. I am a pain in the neck.
Well, that's interesting though, because obviously when you do spell work, especially love, you're going to deal with the underpinnings of it all, the wounds of people, or you know, someone that has no confidence. So in a way you might, it seems like, end up helping them with other things.
Yeah. Yeah. In my tarot rituals that I do at home, I also use tarot cards. We have a lot of tarot cards that are representing of whatever you want to do. I'm sure you know about that. For example, the lovers. Mm-hmm. So if you want to bring in a lover, you put the lover's card in front of your ritual. If you have the photograph of someone you're dating, put a photograph of you together, that also works. And if you want to get married, you put this one in front.
The devil. Michael would agree with you with that one.
Oh, you couldn't?
No, he agrees with you.
Right. Yes. And also there's this one.
Two of cups?
Yes. And also the 10 of cups.
The 10 of cups.
So there's a lot of them. If you have a partner that is undecisive, even though this is swords, you put that card and you make a papers to help him make the decision.
Like, now, I've seen them. Some people decorate tarot cards for spell work. They'll put all kinds of ribbon, and it looks really pretty, actually. I've seen that on Instagram.
Oh, I have not seen that.
But yeah, they'll put little things. You know, they'll make it into a piece of art, actually, and it's just beautiful. And I guess it's a good thing you're putting all that energy into it while you're doing it. And
right.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. I love that. See how we learn so much from each other? The young people also bring things that are amazing. Yes.
I think we talked about this before about maybe not though. One of the things I found when I first was married, I'd been married a couple years, was that people don't always know how to support marriages. So I remember going to a friend and I was like annoyed at Michael, and it was pretty unfair and unbalanced what I was saying, but I was just kind of airing my thoughts. I didn't expect anyone to take them seriously. And I remember the woman really sided with me. And I remember thinking like, well, that's not even what I wanted. I just felt really weird. And I began to realize that I had to be careful who I talk to about my problems with marriage because of their own history and biases. But do you find that sometimes people don't know how to sustain long relationships? And can you use spell work to support that?
First of all, careful who you talk to. That's very important. You have to talk to somebody that's non-biased and that love you both. Mm-hmm. And also that can see the both sides, because sometimes, for example, I know of a mother-in-law that always takes the side of the son-in-law. Not in a mean way, in a nice, sweet way, mm-hmm. because she knows her daughter. Mm-hmm. And her daughter is wonderful. They have a beautiful marriage, but she knows, and the daughter, when she complains, the mother-in-law always tells him, this is the mom-in-law, always. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. When the husband and wife are having a little problem, the wife goes to her mother, the mother says, but you do this, and that, and I want you to see the qualities of your husband, how he is as a father, and all these little things, because you need a support group to build up and not destroy. Like you say, some people have biases and traumas, mm-hmm. and they'll reflect it on you. There are spells you can do to better your marriage. Yes. That cinnamon tea you said sounds great. Mm-hmm. Also, cooking a meal that you know your husband likes, or the husband cooking a meal the wife likes and saying, I did this for you. I noticed that the little nuances of kindness make a big impact.
That's so true, actually. And there, you know, the thing about food tasting better. My mother was an excellent cook, but she didn't do a lot of fancy cooking. Mm-hmm. I think she wanted to, but we were kids, and you know, kids aren't going to like gourmet food for the most part. But even her spaghetti sauce, she always cooked with so much love, and it always mm-hmm. tasted so good. Even when I was older, I loved going up and she just, you know, whip up a meal for us, something mm-hmm. really, but there was something about her energy in the food. And I knew it was her love of cooking and of me, but she also really loved cooking. You know, she enjoyed it and she didn't like cleaning up. She hated that. But that energy of and the food, and I think that maybe one of the benefits of the pandemic is there have been more families cooking together and eating together that didn't have time, or they didn't think they had time. Yeah. So I've heard stories about that.
If you realize, many things came to my mind right now. Food is a way of communicating and sharing, but also nurturing. You nurture love, but you also nurture your health. If I give my family healthy food and I cook it and I'm enjoying cooking for them, I'm like, I have to cook for them and I'll get a frozen pizza from the fridge. That's not going to work. But if I, because going back to the thing that we are mostly water, when you talk to water, you know, and you say, thank you for my health, and then you drink it, you're drinking, the water is saying, oh, she's healthy, she just told me. When you're cooking and your spaghetti is from your mom's, the sauce was based with tomatoes and probably a little water, and she was thinking of nurturing you and making you happy through your stomach. It's a lot of little things that make sense, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
That's it.
We love people through food. Italians do that a lot.
Yes.
A lot. They give you love. You go to a house. The first thing they do is get the table full of food. And they make you eat. They're giving you love.
It's so true. Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely, it works. There's nothing like a good meal that someone has given. Or even just a nice cup of tea. Someone makes you a cup of tea or coffee or, you know, and you feel that energy and so I appreciate that because of my mother, really. Yeah. And I think Michael also had a mother who was a really great cook and baker. And so we both know that it matters, you know, even if we don't do it all the time, we try to do some of that at home.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Now we have time.
Now we have time.
A lot of people are becoming foodies.
Believe me,
I see it.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's great. It's a healthy thing as long as you be careful with not gaining too much weight.
That's true. You have to exercise or just, you know, but healthy eating, you don't have to gain a lot of weight.
Right. You absorb everything your body needs. It's true.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was about different kinds of incense. Do you use specific incense as well sometimes? Because we talk a lot about candles with love magic, but do you have specific incense you like to use?
Yes.
What kind do you like to use?
There's a lot of things out there. I try personally, because we're doing it inside the house, to burn things that are not toxic. There's a lot of toxic incense out there. But I use myrrh and natural resins, but you can also use like the bay leaf. You can burn the bay leaf in the house. It smells delicious when it's dry. Mm-hmm. You can write love spells in the bay leaves and burn them.
Oh,
you know that? It's amazing. Also, there's some Japanese companies that are sure they don't have toxics in their incense, and they have rose. Rose smell is delicious if it's well done. Mm-hmm. But I also love the temple incense from India. Mm-hmm. I think it's Panchanga. It's not expensive. Mm-hmm. But you can do your own incense at home too. I teach people how to do it. But you can use bay leaves. Get a bay leaf. And also, you know what else is amazing? If you use clean organic incense, it clears the air in the house. Open windows after, so it comes out, and it takes everything, like even viruses or whatever is floating around, out the window with incense.
Yes, I've heard that. Definitely, I've heard that sage is really good for that.
Yes, sage is a little bit invasive and strong, though. Everything is going to smell like that.
Yes.
Frankincense. If you can buy the good quality one, frankincense even has medicinal values for you. But they're harvesting so much the frankincense that they're damaging the trees that are around the Sahara and that area of the world. So, but if you get good quality frankincense, you can even whiff it like this. You can go like this and go. It's great for you.
Mm. Right.
And that for rituals is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you brought up a good point. Again, I sort of was doing a little research on dragon's blood, which I use a lot and can be used for returning lost love, though I usually just use it for clearing negative energy. But the dragon's blood tree is vulnerable to extinction now. Right. And it's still there, and they're trying to work with it, but it's over in Yemen, and there's a lot of civil unrest there, and the main problem is climate change. It isn't.
Right.
It isn't.
But also these people, Yemen and Saudi Arabia, no, Afghanistan, and this, there's a lot of areas. It's a big area that the trees of, I saw a documentary on the Trail of Frankincense. You can find it on YouTube. It talks about the dangers, but there is communities out, foreign communities, helping these people, teaching them how to harvest the frankincense without killing the tree, mm-hmm. because these people are very poor and hungry, so they over-harvest and they kill the tree, and it takes years for a tree to grow.
Yes, I guess the dragon's blood tree lives up to 600 years. They're
you
that
imagine?
Old. Yep, six. Now they have found ways to grow them faster, just like you're saying that they're going in there and with people conservationists are trying to help, because the dragon's blood tree is very important to that community too for a variety of reasons, including I guess the seed, or there's a little bit of food from it, and so it helps that world, not just people outside. So you're right, just going in and teaching better ways of conservation. Yeah. That we need now because of the climate change.
Yes.
And because of also overpopulation, in a sense, there's more people in general in the world.
Right, yes. So when you are, this is what makes getting old beautiful and complicated, I think, because you're more conscious of everything. What I am burning this incense, where is it coming from? Is it created by pain? Did somebody suffer to find this incense and bring it back to me? You know, all those things, I am very conscious of it now. I suffer a little bit sometimes.
and that's part of consciousness is, there's no way out. If you don't feel pain as you grow more conscious, the pain of suffering, then you are not growing more conscious. There's this idea we're going to all be happy, and the opposite happens. But then your heart grows bigger and you find ways to act on it. You know, you find ways that you can do to support what even a small thing, even if I'm recycling or I'm trying to learn, is part of spirituality. I don't think we're going to, one person's going to save the world anymore. If actually they never have. So it's a collective effort.
Right.
But you're right. As you grow older, you and I think about my spiritual path, it does seem like I've become more aware of where things come from and, who's hurting who and how should I support this? And that's a bit of a wrestle that you have to make with your own conscience, what you're going to do about it.
Yeah, that's why when a person comes to me and says, I want this man to divorce his wife and marry me, or I want this person to, his wife to be sick or his girlfriend to get out of the way, I don't do that. I say, I'm not the right person for you, because there's enough suffering in the world. Why cause more? And if you get a benefit from somebody else's suffering, you're going to pay it later. Trust me. I live enough years to know you pay it later. Don't go there.
I agree. And I think that's really a good sort of, we're getting close to the end, a good note to finish on. The idea of you being conscious of what you want to do with love spells for other people. That
yes.
You're aware of that. You don't just do whatever they ask them. And you have determined that. What are your rules? And you have your own values.
Yes. Because imagine, Krista, somebody says, I want her to die. Right there, something's wrong there. And I tell the person, why would you want her to die? And things, I ask a little bit of questions, but I usually tell the person, that I don't do that. Why don't you wish that woman to find a better partner, to fall in love and leave that man that you want, but she's getting a benefit and you get a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see it that way, some people get it, some people don't like it, and they just tell me a few beautiful words I can't repeat. Like, what do you think you are? As a witch, you don't know what you're doing. There's people out there that don't have a clue of energy and how it comes back to you. And that is scary.
Well, they'll learn the hard way, and they will learn the hard way. And there's no reason. There's definitely better ways to do things to gain real love in your life.
Right. You have to start with loving yourself, because if you don't, who can love you, right? So that's what I say. Would you date yourself, dear?
I love that. Would you date yourself? That's a good way to put it. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We always love having you. It's great to see you too.
Thank you, guys. It's so good to see you.
Yes.
Be well and safe.
And you and your mother as well, and your daughters.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us. We look forward to next week when we continue to journey and explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Have a great week.